This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome in to another episode of MLS Six Pack here on the SDH Network. I'm Madison Cruz. Joined with me is one of the voices of Atlanta United in Jason Longshore, as he is actually over in Cincinnati right now, getting ready for the match tomorrow.
Yeah, the exciting hotel room here in Cincinnati. Yes, getting ready for an early kickoff on Saturday. I'll actually be home before the West Coast games kick off.
That'll be nice. You actually get to sit down and watch a little bit of soccer.
Whoa. Yeah, you know, it's nice when that happens. Yeah, you have Sunday night soccer last week. Be home at a decent time this time. So that's it's not bad. Not bad.
Not bad. But hey, you know, at least the hotel wall is kind of nice. It's a nice little background.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's one of my favorite hotels in the league. Cincinnati is a very underrated trip in MLS. It is definitely one that should be on your list to travel to see your team.
Well, speaking of the teams, before we even get into the week 5 preview, we got to talk about what happened in week 4, because a lot went down, as it always does with MLS. What can you expect? Today, no week is not as chaotic as the other. So what stuck out to you from looking at week 4?
Kansas City, Minnesota was pure, unadulterated, liquid chaos. 3-0 lead for Minnesota, and you have the orange ball, and you have snow, and you have Peter Vermes probably threatening people's lives. And then they come back and they get three goals in like 12 minutes to get a point out of that one. That was the really wild match of the weekend. Red Bulls Orlando 2-2 draw. That's a good one for Orlando up in Jersey. Austin winning at LAFC is maybe not the big shock, but winning 1-0, kind of doing LAFC's deal against them, a little bit of a surprise. Charlotte, 2-0 win at home over Cincinnati. I mean, Charlotte at Bank of America Stadium is a tough place to get a result. Colorado, I think, on the road at San Jose, that's a really good result for them. RSL, a win on the road, really good result for them. Nashville, surprising 3-1 at Philadelphia, who had been perfect up until this point. Those are the big ones that stand out to me. I thought Sunday night soccer with Atlanta and Miami was a great match, a great advertisement for what the league hopes that Sunday night soccer can be. It felt big. I think the game delivered. I hope the neutrals out there watching really enjoyed it, because I thought it was played at a really, really high level. that's what you want out of Sunday night soccer. You want it to be a showcase. And I felt like this one was. So all in all, a really good week around MLS with lots of different things to dig into.
I think, yeah, I think even on the air with Abe Gordon, I literally, when he read off the scoreline for Nashville versus Philly, I was shocked. I was like, whoa. Yeah. Because you just, from what has been happening with Nashville, you just didn't anticipate that. And, you know, brought down Philadelphia, who's had a great start to the season. So,
yeah, Nashville hasn't looked good this year up until this point. Philadelphia had looked far better than you would have expected. There is a red card for Philadelphia, but it's in the 102nd minute. So it doesn't really factor into the result here. Really surprising. And it's something that maybe we've been too harsh on Nashville. Maybe Philadelphia, we're overhyping a little bit because of three results. That's what happens early in the MLS season. You know, I mean, we're seeing it in Atlanta. We're seeing it in different places around the league. You're going to draw conclusions after four games, but they might not be correct. And I think maybe what we've seen with Nashville and Philadelphia kind of tells you that pump the brakes on both sides. Let's see a little bit more of both of these teams before we have a little bit better understanding of what they're going to be with new managers in both places.
And speaking of momentum, as much as a team can have all this momentum and go, there's something that could easily stop it. And this is one of the rare occasions, especially in MLS, we got an international break as well as league play is happening at the same time. When you look at this international break, and almost, I believe, every team in MLS has at least one player gone for international duty. Mm-hmm. How does a team navigate going through this, and how can it impact the team where maybe they do have the momentum in their favor and then they have to change a roster, or they don't have the momentum and then they're able to somehow manage to come up with a win with a depleted roster?
So much of it's down to who you're missing, what positions you're missing, and what your depth looks like. It's a good thing that MLS has so many guys who are getting called up. I think it says a lot about the quality of the league. I want FIFA first off to reduce the number of international breaks. There's too many. There needs to be fewer. There needs to be a real conversation about with UEFA, with CONCACAF. I mean, CONCACAF created Nations League because you had to create something for teams to play because they weren't getting the friendlies with the European countries anymore because of UEFA Nations League. So there has to be a conversation about what the international calendar looks like. And that needs to be had now to take effect after the 26th World Cup. But as it currently stands, MLS is in a tough spot. You have to make a decision with this window specifically. The fall windows, you're not going to play through because it's in the crunch time of your season. There's three in a row, which is stupid. That needs to stop. But the March one, I would rather see a midweek round of games played and find a spot in the schedule to do that. I think the league is strong enough to be able to handle on multiple fronts. I think the rosters can always be deeper, but they're deep enough to handle another midweek round. You have attendances that are strong enough in most markets to be able to handle a Wednesday game where you'll have a little bit of a dip, but it shouldn't be catastrophic like it would have been in the past. It's a better product, I think, to have that midweek round. And players in Europe are accustomed to it. Players in South America are accustomed to it. You know, top players at top clubs are accustomed to long stretches in the season where they're playing that three games in 7 days kind of deal. And MLS, you can deal with that, and you should. And maybe that'll push the rosters to get a little bit bigger. Maybe that'll push easier to call guys up. There's different things that can happen as a result, but I'd rather see that than playing through the international break because, you know, Atlanta and Cincinnati, it's not an even matchup in terms of how many guys are going to be missing in this game. You know, Cincinnati's missing a big one in Kevin Danke up top. You're missing him. You have a red card suspension, which could happen anytime. You have injuries, which could happen anytime. But Atlanta's missing five center backs, like five in the club. And that is very hard to overcome, along with five other guys from the first team and the second team that are going to be gone. Some teams are missing one guy. Some teams are missing five. Some teams are missing multiple. Some guys are missing, you know, one youth player. So it is a little bit of the luck of the draw as to how this week will go. It's very hard to predict because of that. There are some bigger absences that will affect teams more than others. But I hope that and maybe this changes with a change to a different calendar, if that happens on the MLS side. But FIFA needs to have a big picture conversation with the confederations. They all need to come into alignment for the next cycle through 2030, through that World Cup. And then once you know that, then MLS can make its plan. And I would much rather take a midweek round and compress the schedule a little bit more in a portion than have a round like this that is, it's just so much down to the luck of the draw as to who you are playing, as to what your chances are of getting results.
I agree with you. I think we've seen there be multiple midweek matches in MLS, sometimes almost back to back. You'll have one week where it's double match week, one week where it's one match, and then go back to another double match week. I think you've seen it. And, you know, you'll hear soon when I talk to Joshua Ray about Vancouver here shortly in the episode. We talked about that. He talked about how Vancouver and a lot of the players actually thought having those games back to back with CONCACAF Champions Cup and regular league play has helped them actually get some momentum. And I think that would be much more beneficial for MLS to do the same thing, especially dealing with the amount of turnover. And it's great that the league is getting so many players brought up. But I think with that growth, you also have to then readjust how you look at the international window.
I totally agree. And I hope it's something that once you get through next year with a very different calendar with a World Cup smack dab in the middle of it, once you get through that, you create your plan going forward, you know, put the pressure on FIFA, I think, to reduce the number of international breaks. But once it's established what it will be for the next 4 years, adjust accordingly and throw another midweek in. That's what I'd rather see.
Well, we talk about the midweek, a lot of talk about it. There was also something else that happened midweek as well. The beautiful, glorious, tremendous, absolutely incredible U.S. Open Cup began, and it did not meet expectations. I was sat every single day for the past 3 days, and it was incredible.
Yeah, it's just an amazing event, and I think what's so cool about it is you get some of these matchups that you'll never see on a regular basis. And you get to see players who you've never heard of make a name for themselves. You get to see some of these things like the Chattanooga Red Wolves having a red card in the first half and coming back and surviving, and a backup goalkeeper coming into play on the field and converting in a penalty shootout, and they went on the road. We saw Greenville Triumph be pushed to the limit by Asheville City, first game back after Hurricane Helene and all the damage in Asheville. And Asheville City, you know, put together a roster and nearly got past a professional team. Just a lot of really cool stories in this. We had, I believe, 6 cup sets. One of them, Des Moines Menace, I don't really call a cup set when you're dealing with the at least the talent level of all of the former MLS players. If not the fitness level of those guys, which is not where it needs to be right now. But they found a way to get it done. 2 goals from Sasha Kleschen. Little Rock Rangers is the other one who really jumped out to me, getting a win at home, beating Birmingham Legion. Big win for that club that we followed over the years here on the SDH Network.
Yeah, I think you look at everyone in Menace, and you know, I think I even texted both you, Jarrett, and John, and I was like, is this considered an upset?
I say no as well,
because I mean, you look at Dax Bacardi as well, just recently retired, still very much in shape, especially to play 90 minutes. And, you know, you got the likes of, you know, MLS legend Bradley Wright Phillips, and then Sasha Kleschen, bringing in Justin Miram, Mikey Ambrose. You're bringing in all of these legends that come in and, you know, they're able to put together a solid performance in the U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah, it's a cool story. Like, look, is it the best situation in the tournament to have an amateur team that qualifies with college players the previous season, and then they bring in a bunch of former pros to play here? You know, it's different. It's kind of the nature of how U.S. soccer is with the summer league teams. And this has been an evolution with the Open Cup over the years, where it used to start a little bit later, and it was really geared around those teams that only play in the summer. Well, soccer's year-round, and it needed to go in this direction. But that puts a Des Moines Menace in USL League 2 and the NPSL teams that only play in the summer and bring in college players. They can't get those players right now. So they have to figure out something. Some clubs like Asheville is able to bring in Simon Carlson, who we know well from his time at Georgia State. Simon graduated from West Virginia, so he's free to play, and he hadn't signed a pro deal, so he was available, played for Asheville in this match. We'll see what happens with Simon next. Others, you know, build more of a local roster. It's something that is now a necessary part of it. With that big picture calendar that we talked about, you got to have the Open Cup start earlier. Game's got to get spread out a little bit more for it to fit into league seasons for MLS, for USL Championship, for USL League One. And it's something that I hope to continue to see grow. And it's something that I hope, talking about calendars, I hope that MLS is back in it in full sooner rather than later. There is some things that need to improve about the tournament. I know that's something MLS has pushed for in terms of standards, in terms of making it make sense. But then the counter for me would be, I'd rather see MLS teams in and them have the choice to play their second teams in games if they need to, if they want to, depending on what their calendar looks like, depending on what their availability looks like. And that would include being able to play amateur players, amateur in terms of academy players. That's something that does revolve around NCAA rules. I feel like NCAA rules are a whole different category now with NIL and all of that. So it should be a conversation. It should be had. Everybody should be in it. And if an MLS team says, you know what, we're going to play our entire second team in this game, so be it. We see it in cup competitions all around the world. So that should be the requirement. That should be the rule. But right now, there's some things that make it difficult for MLS teams to be able to participate in it in the way that they should be able to choose how they do it. So NCAA, U.S. Soccer, everybody needs to get to that table and get it sorted out. So everybody is in the cup. And, you know, maybe we get to see a situation where Atlanta United is in the cup and Io Akintobi has a great match and turns a lot of heads playing in that game because you want to rest Brooks Lennon and Ronald Hernandez. That's how it should be. So let's see that. Get it done, U.S. Soccer. Get it done, NCAA as well, because that's a big issue with it. And let's get more chaos in the Open Cup going forward.
More chaos. We'll get the roundtable set, get everyone involved, and get ready to go. But before we get to the interview with Joshua Ray from Terminal City FC, there was a bit of breaking news as well earlier this week. This happened Thursday. Charlotte FC have signed head coach Dean Smith to a new contract through the 2027 MLS season.
It makes total sense. You know, look, he got them into the playoffs last year. They were this close to getting past Orlando. They got wins at home this season already over Atlanta and Cincinnati. This is a guy who has elevated the club. He's brought them some necessary stability after not having enough of that early on. So it makes total sense. I do have an issue, though. The birthday tunnel deal that they posted this week with Dean Smith celebrating his birthday, going through the tunnel, but basically not letting anybody slap him. Don't go through the tunnel then. Like, it looked really silly. Like, you can't strut through the tunnel. I mean, if you're going to do that, then at least make it like Soul Train or something. Come on. Like, you can't go through and not let anybody like smack you or throw water at you or whatever. Then what's the point?
It's a tradition. You have to do it.
If you're going
to
do it, do it. If you're not going to do it, then that's fine. Don't do it. But don't do the tunnel where it's just walking through it. Don't do it.
For shame.
I was disappointed.
For shame. Very disappointed. But what will not be disappointing is this upcoming interview with Joshua Ray. Great conversation with him. So I'll stop talking and I'll go ahead and toss it to him. Joshua Ray of Terminal City FC podcast. Joshua, thank you for joining us as well to talk a little bit about the Vancouver Whitecaps and what they've been doing this season.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I think for starters, I mean, you look at last season and what Vancouver was able to do. They were the eighth seed in the Western Conference. And now coming and looking at what they've done so far in the first five games of the season, I mean, what stands out to you? What's so different about what we saw from 2024 to now?
There's a lot of things. And I guess first of all is it's the system. New coach Jesper Sorensen. Last year under Vanni Sartini, it was more counterattacking, more transition-based. This time it's more possession-based, controlled and everything. And there's also been a less reliance on just Ryan Gauld and Brian White for scoring goals. The Whitecaps have had at least 8 different goal scorers, and at least half of them have been from center backs or defenders, which is a very nice thing to see. But no one expected a start like this. No one expected the team to be playing this well this early in the season, especially with the amount of injuries they have and all the games they played. It was like 8 games in 23 days with Champions Cup and everything. But it's just refreshing. Nice to see that the Whitecaps are top of the table. Like 4-0-0 is an outstanding record. And bigger tests await with Chicago this weekend here in Vancouver. And the Whitecaps will be even more depleted with international call-ups as well.
Yeah, I think I was looking at the list that MLS released about like every team like who had like some missing. And I believe you guys have 4 players that are missing, key players also for your squad. I know that's the same thing with Atlanta too. I think it's the same for a lot of different teams. You're dealing with so much of that turnover. But from what you've seen from the roster and who they have, who's going to step up in those places this weekend against Chicago?
I go with Sebastian Berhalter, of course, the son of Chicago's head coach. The Berhalter ball, as they're calling it this weekend.
But, I love it.
But he has, you know, really improved ever since he came to Vancouver in 2022, last year especially. Just a really good number 8. He can defend, can win the ball back, which is something Sorensen has really harped on, winning the ball back as quickly as possible. Provide service and can score the occasional goal. So I'm sure the Whitecaps will be relying a lot on him to hopefully get some more points on the weekend.
And I mean, the Whitecaps are also looking to be a part of history this season as well, especially the longest winning streaks to begin an MLS season. They have 4 right now. And yeah, trying to get to the point where hopefully they'll get up closer to LA Galaxy, who has 8, and that was in 1996. I mean, it just goes to show the fast start that we've seen from the Whitecaps this season. What have you seen from, whether it's at training or on the field or anything you've seen, how have you seen the team really buy in to what this new head coach wants to do?
Everyone, yeah, like you say, everyone just bought in. Everyone is on the same page. I mean, even going back a few years under Vanni Sertini, the team was very unified, we play for each other, not for ourselves type of mentality. And when Sorensen came in, different system, but he spent 3 weeks with the club in Marbella, Spain to get everyone adjusted, and that really helped. And everyone's on the same page. Players talked about, like, yeah, I like the system. The system's good. It suits me. We're like, Sorensen even said after the Dallas game, yeah, we have a perfect record, but we're not a perfect team. We want to get better, which is pretty much the mentality of the entire team right now. And I actually spoke with the assistant coach, Michael D'Agostino, yesterday for my podcast, and said he pretty much reiterated the same thing, that tougher times are up ahead and it's up to us to how to handle him, because can't control call-ups and injuries. It is what it is, and you have to go through them.
Yeah, we'll take the plug. You should go check out that interview. That is on Terminal City FC, yep, podcast. Go check it out. This is the plug to help you out as well. That, because I actually listened to a little bit of it as well before hopping on with you. But it's so interesting, especially when you look at this season, I think, in MLS, because of how many new head coaches are joining in, and there's so much turnover and then so much new players coming into the fold. What do you think, looking at this Vancouver team? I know that the head coach and everyone there is also talking about, you know, there's still a whole bunch of season left and things to improve upon and get better. What are some things that you want to see the Whitecaps continue to improve upon as the season goes on?
Just overall consistency. So far we've seen that, and 4-0-0 is a great like start to the season, as I said, but Sorensen has talked about we need to be better in like certain areas, like the attack, because the Dallas game, they could have been up 2 or 3 nothing by halftime. And I guess something that they should work on is being more clinical. It's going to be tougher now with Brian White on international duty. Good opportunity for former Atlanta United striker Daniel Rios to really show what he can do, because we haven't really seen him that much. And Sorensen, as I said in the past, like, there are times where the defending can get sloppy. The Montreal game came to mind, but thankfully Montreal didn't score. So just certain areas, like the little things that they need to work on to have a more cohesive, consistent game. And so far we've seen that has been more positive than negative, obviously. But again, Chicago this weekend, big first real test of the season. And hopefully that it won't be, they won't stray from what made them great so far this season.
We talked a little bit about it earlier. I want to bring it back up because I think the most exciting game for me in the CONCACAF Champions Cup was watching the Whitecaps versus Monterrey in that last one in leg two. Ton of fun. And I just want to talk about that journey, watching that unfold with Vancouver, and now they're making it to the quarterfinal. What was it like just watching all of that go down with the Whitecaps?
That was something special. Like, I've been a fan of this team since they came into MLS. I've been covering them since 2022. They have not beaten a Mexican side in the Champions Cup, let alone in Mexico. And first leg against Monterrey, they could have won, like, they could have blew Monterrey out of BC Place, but they just couldn't finish their chances except for that Bilal Halbouni header from the free kick late in the game. One of the best performances you'll ever see from the Vancouver Whitecaps in that first leg. Second leg went down early again due to some sloppy defending, but the more they got into the game, they just settled down and let themselves play the game they wanted to play and frustrated the hell out of Monterrey. And just players rose to the occasion, like Eddie Aocampo, what a way to get your first Whitecaps goal. And then Brian White, of course, just leaving Sergio Ramos in the dust all alone. It's something that many Whitecaps fans will never forget. And that two legs against Monterrey, two of the best games you'll ever see in the Whitecaps MLS era, but it's very refreshing to see that this team can go deep in bigger tournaments like Champions Cup. And beating a Mexican side is a statement. It shows that this is an elite Vancouver Whitecaps team. This is a team that can go further in tournaments and can make some noise in MLS and hopefully in the playoffs. But Pumas, in a few weeks, that's going to be another tough test. They were here for Leagues Cup last year and beat the Whitecaps, so they're not done yet. They're gonna go as far as they can go, and hopefully they put up a stellar performance against Pumas too.
With having so many games, especially with Champions Cup, as well as playing in the regular season, do you think that it's almost been helpful to have that like balance and having a lot of those games to realize the depth that you have, especially heading into the international break and this window of games?
Yeah. Players have talked about they liked having all these games coming quickly because it helps them be more focused in training and heading into games. And yeah, you're right. It does show the depth of the squad. Like, we're seeing guys like Halbouni and Ocampo score goals, and players like JC Ngando, who was on loan with the USL Las Vegas Lights last year, is really starting to find his place in the team. And it goes to show that there is depth in this squad and they're all stepping up, which is very nice to see, because that has been an issue in the past seasons, especially late last season with all those injuries and call-ups. But the team has handled it well. And speaking of depth, they still have not seen Emmanuel Sabi, who they signed from Ligue 1, because he's still dealing with an injury, but it's possible he could play tomorrow, as Sorensen did say he is training. But yeah, all those games, it was kind of like a blessing in disguise for players who don't play a lot. to really show that they belong on this team. And seeing guys you don't expect to get on the score sheet is just really nice to see.
You mentioned what Sorensen said this week to you guys in media availability. What is it, the overall vibe from him heading into this match against Chicago, and what do the Whitecaps need to do to secure a win at home?
He's pretty much said, like, we're happy where we are, but obviously we want more. And again, another tough test with everything. And it's pretty much the same. Stick to the game plan. Approach it like every other game. And this week they've had more time to train and talk tactics and all that, as Michael D'Agostino told me yesterday. So pretty much the same. They're just looking forward to Chicago and trying to stick to the game plan, because if they don't, then it could be first loss or first draw of the season. But given the circumstances, a draw would be fine. But obviously they want the win. Oh, they're at home in front of the fans, and they have a chance to make a further statement that they aren't a team to be messed around with.
Is there a player for you that has surprised you in a way that you've seen so far this season, or a player that just you've seen a lot of that you really enjoy and are excited to see the growth?
It's Pedro Vite by a mile. It just felt like he has taken his game to another level this season. Because in the past season, it wouldn't take him until June to really find his game for whatever reason. But right from the get-go against Portland, it's just like we're seeing a more mature, a less frantic, more experienced player in Pedro Vite. Like the way he can progress the ball and win it back. I guess the system also really suits him, because he can be that number eight and be more, dynamic with the ball and less reliant on tracking back and defending. So, Vite has just really taken his game to another level this year, and he's been just one of the key players on why the Whitecaps are 4-0. Unfortunately, he won't be playing tomorrow as he's on international duty with Ecuador.
I always love this time, because I always like getting to see like the depth of each squad, especially in international break. I know a lot of people obviously don't like it. That's fair. I'm not a fan of it either sometimes, but I think it's going to be exciting to see what the depth of each of these teams can do, especially with what you guys are building over there at Whitecaps. I want to go back before I let you go as well. Going back to the quarterfinal, looking ahead to Pumas in Vancouver, that's going to be first leg is going to be at Vancouver. That is going to be April 2nd at 9:30 p.m. I mean, build up to that, going up against Pumas, the history that's already there. I know it's a little early on to be thinking about it, since, you know, you do have a league match here in the next week and also another week before it happens. But what's the anticipation? What have you heard from the fans, especially heading into that quarterfinal game, and just the excitement of getting the chance to host that?
Yeah, it's exciting. A lot of the fans are saying, oh, we beat Monterrey, and let's see what we can do against Pumas. Bring it. We play like the way we played against Monterrey, is by what I've been reading. There's no reason why they can't beat Pumas. And there's also excitement, if they beat Pumas, they would have to be hopefully drawn against Inter Miami and Lionel Messi, who obviously didn't show up last year for the MLS regular season. And this time he would have no choice but to show up. Well, unless he's injured, of course. But obviously we'll cross that bridge when we get there, but there's a lot of excitement heading into the tie against Pumas, because furthest they've ever gone in this competition, and another Mexican side, and the games are always physical and exciting. So a lot of excitement for another tie against a Mexican side.
Before I let you go, one thing, MLS six pack, we'll do a quick preview of everything going on with what's happening in MLS. Is there a game besides the Vancouver Whitecaps game against Chicago? Does that stick out to you looking ahead at the schedule for the weekend?
Let me think here.
I know I put you on the spot a little bit.
MLS always has good matchups every week. And this week, a lot of teams are missing players, so which makes things even more interesting. Probably go with Cincinnati, Atlanta. I've always been intrigued what Atlanta's done in the offseason. Looks stronger, contender now with Latte La and Almiron back. So I'll go with Cincinnati, Atlanta, and especially now with Cincinnati, just, you know, they lost Lucho Acosta, brought in Evander, but haven't had the greatest start to their season.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, Joshua, thank you so much again for joining us here at MLS Six Pack. We'll hopefully have you on here again as we talk about the quarterfinals for CONCACAF Champions Cup with Vancouver.
Yeah, thanks for
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Having me.
Once again, huge thank you to Joshua Ray for taking the time to chat with me earlier today, talking about the Vancouver Whitecaps, which, I mean, for me at least, breaking waves. Like, they're top of the East of the Western Conference right now, and they're doing amazing in CONCACAF Champions Cup. So it was great to get to hear in his insight on what he's seen from the team and hopefully what we can expect this weekend as they face Chicago in the Berhalter Bowl is what they're calling it.
Yeah, that's a team that I've really enjoyed getting to see this year in Vancouver. I really like the MLS scheduling each weekend right now. I like that the games are spread out. I like that you're getting games in unique time slots. I love the Sunday night soccer idea because I feel more connected to the league. Like, for the last couple of seasons, it felt really hard to keep in touch with the Western Conference if you were in the East and everybody's playing at about the same time. And just difficult. So I've really enjoyed getting to see more of the games. And Vancouver is a team who has grabbed my attention. I like what they're doing. They're a fun team to watch. Ryan Gault getting back from injury will be huge for them. But that's a team that, you know, they're setting historical records right now with 4 wins out of 4. And we see what happens in the Berhalter Bowl this weekend.
Berhalter Bowl, that is going to start at 10:30 p.m. on MLS Season Pass. So we'll go ahead and get to the schedule now as we will take a look at everything. So we'll go ahead and mention this, but we're going to wait until later on to chat about Cincinnati versus Atlanta. That's going to be at 2:30. They're going to start the day. So we'll come back to that. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. We have to tease it a little bit because, you know, we can't release it all right now.
Of course.
It's going to be a, you know, 2-hour-long episode, and we can't have that. Not yet.
No.
Moving on, at 4:30 p.m., we have Minnesota hosting LA Galaxy.
Yeah, it's one where, you know, this is talk about luck of the draw. Galaxy are pretty much unaffected by call-ups, and Minnesota's missing Dane St. Clair and Tani Oluwaseyi with Canada and Robin Laud with Finland. So, you know, it's Galaxy on the road. Maybe that negates it. We'll see. But Minnesota has a lot of questions to answer lineup-wise with guys missing.
Moving on to 7:30, a lot of games during this time slot. It is Charlotte hosting San Jose.
Yeah, Charlotte and San Jose, it's one, a matchup you're not used to seeing. It's when we get some of the East-West games. It's fascinating. Joseph Martinez with Venezuela tonight, playing in Ecuador. Big game for them in World Cup qualifying. Charlotte's missing Tim Ream and Patrick Adjiman and Leah Labada. So I feel like Charlotte will do what they've been doing at home. They'll be maybe even a little more defensive in this one. They will look to hit on the break. They'll look to play over the top. Who's going to replace Adjiman? Who's going to be that danger man up top? It feels like, and sometimes we see this during these international breaks, where you're missing key figures and you don't really have a replacement or you don't really have a different way to play. Sometimes you get some games that are a little lower scoring, a little more difficult to call. I think Charlotte will get the win. I think they'll find a way, but I don't think it will necessarily be a pretty match for the neutral.
Up next, we have Columbus Crew hosting NYC.
Columbus missing Schulte, Arston, Farsi, NYC missing Alonso Martinez. Columbus has such an embedded style of play that quality will dip with missing some of those guys, but they'll still play the way that they play. So at home, I think the Crew will be okay, and they will find a way to get a win.
New York Red Bulls hosting Toronto.
Red Bulls coming off of a 2-2 draw at home. Toronto, that's just what happens when we talk about Toronto. Red Bulls at home should win this. Toronto, the story that I thought was so interesting this week is there were reports out of Toronto that they tried to trade Lorenzo Insigne within the league. And to where is my first question, and what fell apart? By all accounts, he's training and doing everything right as a professional, but, you know, he's not going to stick around, and he turned down moves to leave, so he's just training on the side. You get to a point where it's really hard for Robin Fraser not to just pick him and play him, even if it's not for a long-term situation. If everything is going the way that it's being described off the field, and he's being a professional, even if everybody knows, like, hey, this relationship is not going to last long term, but he's doing all the things professionally correct. At some point, just play him. I'm surprised he didn't take one of the transfer offers, honestly, to go, knowing all of this and knowing where things were going to go. Because it feels like a little bit of a waste at this stage of his career where he doesn't have a whole lot of time left. So that's a subplot to Toronto this year. And it sounds like it's not a distraction, which is even weirder. It's just there. So they're limited without him. They're limited with him taking up a designated player spot. Red Bulls win at home.
Orlando City hosting DC United.
Orlando's always interesting during an international break when they miss Pedro Galese, because I feel like he's one of those guys who makes them so much better. And there's not a lot of guys in this league that, like, in baseball, we have the wins above replacement, I think, and baseball nerds are probably screaming at me right now because I got it wrong. It's WAR, it's WAR, it's a stat that they use. If you had that in MLS, I feel like Galese might have one of the highest ones because it's such a drop-off, and it's no knock on the backups. I think Galese is just one of those guys who wins you games as a goalkeeper. So whenever they're missing him, I look at Orlando so much differently. Now, this one, they're at home. DC, Christian Benteke is always a problem. Orlando has been up and down this year. It's really hard to get a read on them because they have lost a game at home. They went to Red Bull and got a draw last week. Like, who are they right now? This one feels like a draw to me. I feel like Benteke could hurt them. It just feels like a draw because I don't have a good sense of Orlando, and I think missing Galese is a huge miss for them.
I think it's going to be a 2-2 draw. That's my final.
I can see that. Yeah, that actually feels pretty good. I could see that.
Pretty solid. All right, moving on. Last game at 7:30. It is Philadelphia hosting St. Louis.
The Bradley Carnell derby right here. St. Louis has not conceded a goal all season long, which is crazy. Four consecutive shutouts. There is only two other teams that have done that in MLS history. Whitecaps in 2012, Red Bulls in 2007. If St. Louis can get through the 68th minute without conceding a goal, it would be the longest shutout streak to start a season in league history. The Whitecaps have that at 427 minutes. Philadelphia and Bradley Carnell will know a lot about the St. Louis team and what they want to do. St. Louis players will know a lot about how Bradley Carnell wants to play. So it's going to be interesting in that regard. You have two teams that are not necessarily possession oriented. So who's going to have the ball more? Who's going to be more comfortable with that? And you have two teams that are both going to be looking to press and be disruptive. Sometimes you get really fun transition, chaotic games that way. And sometimes you just get complete and utter stalemates. I kind of think this is going to be the latter. I will make the boldest claim that I will make this week and say that St. Louis does set that consecutive shutout minute streak because I think this is going to be a scoreless draw.
Okay. We'll have to clip this and hold on to it. And if it happens, we'll have to post it. That'll be
if it doesn't, burn it.
Okay, we'll do. We'll burn the tapes. No one will know. Yes. No one will know anything.
Yes.
All right, moving on to 8:30. We have Sporting Kansas City hosting LAFC.
No Denny Bouanga for LAFC. He scored twice for Gabon yesterday in World Cup qualifying in Africa. Kansas City has to have some momentum, right? After scoring three goals in the second half last week and getting a point out of that, they have to get a win here, right? I think I don't feel good about putting any kind of juice boxes that I enjoy on it. It would probably be like one of the weird like kiwi cranberry mixed juice boxes that I would throw at this game because I don't really care if I lose that. I think Kansas City wins. I have no faith in them actually doing it, though.
Another one that sticks out to me that's definitely interesting, 8:30, you have Nashville hosting Montreal.
Yeah, it's the 150th game for Hany Mukhtar. One of the best additions in MLS history, I think is fair to say. Like, what he's done in 150 games is pretty ridiculous. They should have some momentum. They don't have a huge deal with call-ups either. Montreal's missing Joel Waterman, which is a big one for them because he's so central in the way that they play defensively. I think that's going to hurt them. I think Montreal kind of hitting the wall here on their fifth road game out of six to start the season. They've got to be ready to just play at Stade Saputo and get back home. I think Nashville takes the win.
Still just crazy. Just crazy that they just have not been able to go to Stade Saputo at all. Just insane. Absolutely crazy. Moving on, 9:30 p.m. We have Colorado Rapids hosting the Portland Timbers.
No Zach Steffen for Colorado, and he was ridiculous last week. I hope he starts on Sunday for the U.S. men's national team. I'd like to see that. I think he's earned it. Portland is getting into the very warm seat territory, and I don't know if that's completely fair to Phil Neville, but it's reality. They need to get something out of this with Colorado having to turn to their number two goalkeeper. Portland really needs to get something out of it. Even a draw would be okay to build a little bit of momentum. We'll see if they can.
9:30, we have Salt Lake hosting Dallas.
Salt Lake should be getting some momentum here at this point. And Dallas, it has not clicked with Lucho Acosta yet. And I'm a little surprised that it hasn't clicked in this way with Dallas yet, because we saw them in the last preseason game in Marietta. And I was really impressed with some of the things that they were trying to do. I liked the way that they were pressing. And that was very early in the Lucho Acosta era in Dallas. I really like Eric Quill as a head coach, but it is just not there for Dallas yet. And they've got to find a way to keep Lucho happy and get him more involved. RSL at home should be able to take care of business. And if they do, then maybe the little wobbles of the early beginning stages of the season will dismiss them if they get back-to-back wins.
Moving on to the 10:30 p.m. slot. We already talked about Vancouver and Chicago, but the last one of the night as well is Seattle hosting Houston.
I'm still very disappointed in the Houston Dynamo. I've said that a lot this year. I had high hopes for the Houston Dynamo this season, and it hasn't quite hit yet. They're missing Jack McGlynn in this one. Seattle is having a lot of injury issues that are starting to pile up. We'll see if Brian Schmetzer can continue to navigate it, but I don't have a lot of faith in this game from a Dynamo perspective. I think they could get a draw, though. It feels like one of those that maybe with Nuhu away for the Sounders, with McGlynn away for the Dynamo, with both teams kind of feeling very meh at the moment, the game might be very meh, and it could be a 1-1 draw.
Unfortunately, no Sunday night soccer on Sunday. We just have one game, and that's at 4 p.m., and that is Austin hosting San Diego.
It's just like Sunday late afternoon soccer. It's not Sunday late night afternoon. It's
not
Austin.
The best ring to it, but, you know.
Yeah, it's not quite the same. Austin hasn't looked great offensively, and it's weird because that's where they spent their money in the offseason. But they just got a clean sheet win at LAFC, so you have to feel good about that part of it, right? San Diego's been really solid. You know, Chucky Lozano's injury, it hurts because you want to see them build, but I think we're starting to get a pretty decent sense of what Mikey Veras wants to do in charge of San Diego. They've been a difficult team, especially on the road, to take care of. And Austin should be building momentum after a 1-0 win on the road, but there's still these just questions about the offense and why it's not clicking. They're going to be missing some people here. I think San Diego gets a result. I think it's a draw.
All right. We'll circle all the way back around to Saturday at 2:30 p.m. A full 180, full 24 hours, 2:30, Cincinnati hosting Atlanta United. It's a weird one. You're coming off of the 2-1 loss to Inter Miami in Sunday night soccer. And then Cincinnati is also coming off of a loss as well. So dealing with international break, dealing with with losses for both teams, it's a recipe for figuring out who can get the momentum back.
People always are asking me for predictions about Atlanta United games. And I've kind of settled into a routine in general of not even trying to predict it in my head until the lineups are out. This game, this kind of game is why. Because I have no idea what these teams look like on the field. When you look at the guys who are away and you have the injury questions with Cincinnati combined with missing Danke, and you have all the different call-ups for Atlanta United and guys coming back from injury like Ronald Hernandez and Mateusz Klich, I don't know. I don't know what the teams are going to look like, so I can't really give you a prediction of it. And this is the game that it feels like is the most of those kinds of games this week, in that there are so many unknowns in this game. I think we're still getting to know what Evander in Cincinnati looks like, and it's been pretty good. It's been pretty good. It hasn't been maybe everything that everybody expected it would be so far, and that's to be expected. Sometimes the expectations are too much too fast. We're seeing that here in Atlanta, right? I think with Miguel Almiron coming back, and he won't be here for this one. He's away with Paraguay trying to get them into a World Cup. But Saba hasn't hit on all cylinders yet. Alexei Maranchuk has been pretty good, even if people are trying to create narratives that he hasn't. When you're in the top 10 in shots and shot setups, you're doing something right. You know, you're the bow and the arrow in the situation. So he's been doing that. But the final product hasn't been there. Latte Lott has scored goals. Can you see a little bit more connection with him in these situations? No Bartosz Schlisch, I think, is a very underrated storyline in this one because he's been very good this year outside of one turnover that ends up giving Lionel Messi an opportunity to score a worldie. So there's so many questions for both of these teams. I think you have two managers in Pat Noonan and Ronnie Dyla who have very clear ideas of what they want their teams to look like. I don't think we've seen it this year from both of them looking consistently like the manager wants them to look like. There's no real way they can do that this week, not with the absences that they have. So my question is, I think both managers will come in. They'll have their filter of, okay, this is what I have to work with. This is what the lineup I'm going to put out there is going to look like. This is how I want them to play. I think you're going to get to a point, maybe it's halftime, maybe it's in the second half, where you're not going to be able to achieve that. And it could be fitness, it could be sharpness, it could be just the wrong players fitting. So then what? And that's what I want to see from Noonan and from Dyla in this game, is what do they do when they can't necessarily do what they would like to do? I'll be fascinated to see that. You know, does Cincinnati end up having a little bit more of the ball? I know Atlanta wants to keep more of the ball, but do they have the group to do that in this game? It's going to be very interesting. And I think it's going to be one of those chess matches that we see at various points in the season. But this is entirely different because you don't have all the pieces that you want to work with. So you're going to have more of some pieces and less of others. And how do you fit those together to come up with a coherent strategy? And both managers will be dealing with that. So the starting lineups will be fascinating. The initial shapes, I think, will be very interesting. Cincinnati's shown a little bit of variance this season. Atlanta hasn't, but they hinted at maybe them doing that in this game with Ronnie Dyla talking about three center backs as a possibility. Do you see it start that way? Do you see it finish that way? Do you see a big move at halftime? Do you see a big move middle of the second half? I have no idea what to expect. I'm looking forward to calling it because of that. Because, you know, sometimes you get games that you feel like you know the script going in. I have no clue. This feels like improv. I don't know where it's going to go.
Oh, good old improv. You flashback to my theater days back in high school when you said improv. Ooh. But I feel like this game is funny looking at both Cincinnati and Atlanta United. It feels like, you know, when like you go to like your grandma's house and they have like a board game, but the board game is missing so many pieces that you're just kind of playing with, like, oh, here's this broken dollar bill from the Monopoly set that's like ripped in half. It's like, it's kind of like that. Like, you're trying to fit the pieces to be able to play the game, but doing it in a way that way you're still getting the full effect of what you want to do, but also trying to almost like put band-aids and putting things on it to help, you know, see a cohesive group. And I think you have the depth with Atlanta. I think you have the depth with Cincinnati too. They have the depth. It's there. We're going to see a lot of those players that we've seen on the bench a little bit for Atlanta United step up. I think one of them for me that sticks out is Sean De Silva, him getting the opportunity to step in to that role, assuming he's still in that position for Miguel Almiron on whichever side it is. But you're looking at that and you're looking at that combination. How's that going to fare as well? And also too, still trying to build the connection with Alexi, yeah, with Latte Lath, with Saba as well.
Yeah, it feels like one of those games that, you know, to continue our ridiculous set of analogies that would make Jarrett Smith very jealous.
Yes.
it's that time you're, you know, putting together the cookout and you're putting together the burgers out on the grill and you don't quite get the consistency the way that you want, and they're kind of falling apart, so you make sloppy joes instead. That's what could be happening out of this game. I thought you'd like that one.
That was good. That was a good one. I appreciated that one. I didn't know where it was going at first, and then you got to the point, and that made sense. That was solid.
I might use that on the broadcast.
You should. Absolutely. That was solid. I liked it. That was good. I'm definitely using my little analogy too. I came up with that. Look at us.
So what happens?
It's what happens when you put both of us on MLS six pack here, getting ready for the weekend. But anyway, that was it. You know, chatting about MLS, chatting about everything Atlanta United, getting ready for tomorrow. It's going to be a ton of fun. Jason Longshore, Mike Conti are in Cincinnati. They will be calling the match at 2:30. But myself and Abe Gordon, we will be in the studio in Atlanta, getting you ready for the match at 1:30 p.m. That's going to be on 92.9 The Game. You can also watch it on MLS Season Pass. And you can also listen on the Odyssey app. You can sync it as well. There's a way to do that as well. You should sync it. That way you can still hear Mike Conti and Jason Longshore on the call, but then also get the view of MLS Season Pass. So you can time it right. It takes a little bit, but you can do it. You can do it. Absolutely.
We have faith in you. You can do it.
You can do it. Some technologies can be difficult. I'm more thinking of John. That would be very difficult.
He can't do it.
He couldn't do it, but you all can. You all can do it. We have faith in you all. So anyway, that was another edition of MLS Six Pack here on the SDH Network. Let's go ahead and crack one open as we get ready for this weekend's action in MLS.